Hello, and thanks for joining us for our special Chicago Tonight coverage of the Republican National Convention. I'm Brandis Friedman. Day two of the convention is wrapping up in Milwaukee, where public safety and immigration in particular took center stage, as did many of former President Donald Trump's primary rivals. We will hear from Amanda Venicky. She is inside the convention center in just a few moments. But first, we're going to start our team coverage with Nick Blumberg. He's coming to us live from outside the On Tap bar that's near the convention center, where Illinois Republicans are expected to have a late night reception shortly. Nick, just wrapped up, of course, the second night of speeches at the RNC. What have we been hearing?
Well, Brandis, we heard from a parade of Trump's former GOP challengers who hope to unseat him in his bid for president. Folks like Nikki Haley, Ron DeSantis, at one time bitter rivals of his. We also heard from some of the perhaps lesser known candidates like Vivek Ramaswamy. Of course, the real star of the evening, as anyone who was watching earlier in the day knows, is Governor Jim Justice's bulldog, baby dog. But we also, you know, heard a lot about immigration, the southern border, crime, tying in with tonight's theme of making America safe again. Speakers like Senator Ted Cruz described the asylum seekers arriving in the United States as an invasion. House Majority Leader Steve Scalise making the unfounded claim that the Biden-Harris administration has, quote, opened the borders. Those sorts of claims have, of course, been echoed by Illinois politicians. We were with the Illinois delegation earlier today, and we heard Congresswoman Mary Miller making accusations without offering significant evidence that large numbers of migrants coming into the United States are here to traffic drugs rather than to flee violence or persecution. Now, while there weren't any Illinois politicians who took the stage tonight, we did hear from Chicagoan Pastor Corey Brooks, who just delivered the closing prayer. Brooks is well known for spending nearly a year on the roof of his church trying to raise money for a community center.
And Nick, you know, talking about making America safe, it sounds like, you know, the majority of this has been focused on immigration tonight. But Chicago has also been targeted during the convention for being unsafe when it comes to violent crime. What kind of reaction have you heard to those claims?
Absolutely. There wasn't quite as much mention of Chicago tonight, but Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox did get called out by name by one of the so-called everyday Americans who the RNC is featuring each evening. You know, she was listed in a laundry list of prosecutors with a progressive bent that Republicans have targeted for what they see as not appropriately prosecuting violent crime. She was targeted tonight for abandoning minority communities. Now, as we talked about last night, South Carolina Senator Tim Scott took some jabs at Chicago, talking about its violent crime rate, its underfunded schools. Scott also spoke at an event we went to earlier today. It was a gathering of black Republicans convened by Aurora Mayor Richard Irvin. It was under the auspices of an organization that Irvin has founded called the Black Republican Mayors Association. And we asked Irvin for his take on Scott's comments on Chicago. Irvin told me that while he wishes Mayor Brandon Johnson well, he thinks that Democratic leadership is failing Chicagoans.
Lord bless our great nation. From Project Hood on the south side of Chicago to all four corners of the great nation, from the hills of West Virginia and Tennessee to Beverly Hills in California, all the way to the homies in Los Angeles and the
And that was, of course, Pastor Corey Brooks. We got a little bit of his benediction at the end in there for you. Now let's listen to what Mayor Richard Irvin had to say about Senator Scott's comments on Chicago.
On the south side and west side, African Americans are still struggling, been struggling for generations. A matter of fact, just recently, we've had migrants come into the country. And they spend more money on the migrants, hundreds of millions of dollars, and they spent in the black community that have been there for generations.
Now, you might remember Irvin's eventually unsuccessful bid for the GOP gubernatorial primary in 2022. In that race, he eventually came in third, despite having $50 million in funding from hedge fund billionaire Ken Griffin. Now, during that race, Irvin was slammed by some critics as being insufficiently conservative for his past support of Black Lives Matter and Aurora's Gay Pride Parade, among other things. Now, at that time, WTTW News obtained texts where Irvin described President Donald Trump Trump as bigoted and an idiot. We asked Irvin today about his previous criticism of Trump and his stance on this upcoming election, and he said, look, the choice is clear, describing President Joe Biden as an elderly man and saying that President Trump is strong and powerful.
It's clear what the choice needs to be. And although I have been critical of many of our elected officials, and I think rightfully so, we should criticize elected officials. Folks criticize me all the time. That don't mean I don't believe that we have what it takes to go forward.
Now, given that he's launched an organization bringing together black elected officials from around the country, and given that previous run for higher office, we also asked Irvin about his future political plans. His term as mayor is up in spring of next year. And Brandis, he told us that right now, serving as mayor of Aurora is where he is meant to be.
All right, Nick Blumberg, thanks so much. We'll see you again in just a little bit later in the program. But next, Amanda Venicky has been inside Milwaukee's Pfizer Forum this evening. Amanda joins us now with a member of the Illinois delegation. Amanda.
Yes, I'm here with a member of the Illinois delegation, actually also the chair of the Palatine Township Republican Party. So thank you so much, Aaron Del Mar. We were a bit surprised, or at least I've talked to some of your fellow delegates, that Chicago didn't come up more. Often, former President Trump and a lot of Republicans speak about violence and where Democrats and progressives have gone wrong, giving cities like Chicago as evidence. Were you surprised by that as well?
I was a little surprised about it, but seeing that the delegation from the great state of Illinois came 126 people strong and were right close to the stage, I could understand why they don't want to say so much about us when we're right here. But you know what? Crime has been an emerging issue. That's something that seriously has to be addressed in Chicago. As you know, during the recent 4th of July weekend, you had over 100 people shot. So that is a top issue for the president, and we're looking to see what kind of reforms and vision he has to reduce crime across the nation.
What did you hear about that tonight? That was the entire focus, making America safe once again.
Right. I think they gave a lot of great examples of how there has been real-life issues surrounding a lot of people that have been touched by crime. I think they need to look at it from a holistic approach and where they're going to be able to allocate different federal funds to some of the cities that are desperately in need of those funds, and how we're going to stem some of the immigration issues that we've been seeing across the country, and other ways that we can also add value by creating a holistic approach of giving people different kinds of therapies for drug abuse and putting more money into the psychological issues and addressing those issues on top of it.
I feel like the unofficial theme of tonight was hearing from some of Trump's rivals in the primary. There was a somewhat muted response. What was your take? Did you want to hear from Governor DeSantis, from Ambassador Haley?
It did kind of feel like a family reunion a little bit, didn't it? We're trying to bring everyone back into the fold. But I think it's important, if we want to show unity, we want to show resilience, that we get all the other detractors that are on board. Listen, for there's a lot of people that are here, you know what I mean, of the thousands that are here, not a lot of them were on board in 2016. And there's been an evolution of people getting more and more support for President Trump. A lot of it had to do with the progress that he did during his election when he was a president.
Did any of that ring hollow, though? You had such criticism, even, frankly, his vice presidential pick being a quote-unquote never-Trumper once upon a time. Did that? Is this a sign that you have to be with Trump or you're not welcome in the party?
I think that's actually the opposite. I think that it shows that President Trump and, you know, J.D. Vance are going to bring people in that were detractors as long as they've come along now, because they know that we need every Republican on board, every person, every voter that's out there to get on board with the Republican ticket, because even though we are beating Joe Biden by over 6 points, it's still going to be a tight race in November.
And we just have a little bit left, but you did put your hat in the ring to be the next chair of the Illinois Republican Party. I believe you took your name out, but what were you hoping to accomplish?
The main goal of that was to make sure that all the grassroots people, and when I say grassroots, I mean the volunteers that come to parades, that knock on doors, that put lawn signs on the ground, that go to monthly meetings and go to Lincoln Day dinners. I wanted to make sure that they had a voice. For far too long, the establishment and a lot of the donor class had turned a deaf ear to that group. And by me running and getting a lot of grassroots support from all over the state, there's 102 counties, 32 of them had endorsed me during this race. I gave them a voice. Ultimately, the votes weren't there, but I wanted to make sure their voices were heard.
Well, thank you for sharing your voice with our viewers this evening. Once again, that is Aaron Del Mar.
All right, Amanda, thank you. And, of course, thanks to Aaron Del Mar for joining us. Amanda, we'll see you again in just a bit, of course. But for more analysis on this second night of the Republican convention, we are joined now by Eric Nesbitt. Nesbitt, again, thank you so much for being here, policy analysis and communications professor at Northwestern University. So tonight's theme, we've been talking about it a bit, make America safe once again. What did you hear tonight?
Well, it was really interesting. It was really more about immigration with crime sort of subserving into that, right? So it was really about crime was only secondary. Immigration was front and center. It was about the so-called invasion across the border. And they really put out, they had stories and policy intertwined to basically provide sort of this context that immigration is the foremost problem we need to deal with, right? Which is pretty much has been Trump's logic since 2016.
I thought it was a pretty decent-sized departure, but also evidence of the shift of the party that once upon a time sort of, you know, the crime and punishment and tough on crime kind of rhetoric that we typically hear on the public safety night. That was not the messaging that we heard tonight, and I thought that was a departure from what we usually hear from the Republicans.
Right. Crime was simply used as a means to make arguments about immigration, right? And, you know, they make claims about immigration, unfortunately, not based on fact, right? And they basically, migrants actually commit less crime. They're less likely to be imprisoned. They actually drive economic growth. And these are things that are sort of, it's the opposite of what they were communicating tonight.
And you mentioned one fact check. You know, what is there truth to all of their arguments about immigrants in the United States?
Not based on statistics. You know, if you actually look at the actual hard evidence, not, you know, ignoring the stories that are shared tonight, which are tragic, right? And those are personalized stories, but they're not actually representative of the actual data when it comes to crime and immigration, economic growth and immigration. And listen, we had the opportunity to actually pass a law last year that would have been a compromise between Democrats and Republicans to deal with immigration, right? It gave something to both parties. Trump scuttled it. And he scuttled it because that would have taken away his number one issue that he's campaigning on right now.
A couple of dramatic moments. Obviously, there was the one where we heard from the so-called everyday American, a mom named Ann Funder, speaking about losing her teenage son to fentanyl-laced opioids a couple of years ago, blaming anyone that supports open borders for his death. You know, because the open borders are the source of the drugs. Another mom, though, she sort of had a different position. Madeline Brame, an activist and a mother who lost her son, who was a veteran to a stabbing in New York. She called out the prosecutors, including this was the one instance where we did hear Chicago getting name-checked, where she called out Cook County State's Attorney Kim Fox. There was a bit of the back the blue. Did you expect to hear more, or, you know, what did you hear of the sort of supporting the police and opposition to defunding the police arguments?
It was barely there. I mean, they had a police officer on, but the most powerful stories were these stories from people who had lost loved ones linked to immigration, right? When that mother talked about her son who lost to drugs, people were standing up and crying. That was a powerful moment. And that's what really sort of cut through some of the clutter of the messages.
And that was a powerful moment. You know, we heard our colleagues at PBS NewsHour just a moment ago referring to the speeches from Senator Marco Rubio and Ambassador Nikki Haley. But otherwise, it was sort of a chill night, it seemed.
It was chill
not
night.
Very dramatic.
Ted Cruz brought a bit of, you know, migrants are coming to rape your women moment, which is really hark back to some of the very racist rhetoric we've had historically in our country. But overall, I think they sort of wanted chill. They wanted to humanize Trump. They wanted some interest but no drama. They threw out some red meat to the base on these issues. They brought in Marco Rubio and Nikki Haley to be sort of this transitional bridge, sort of almost outreach. They had Laura Trump sort of end the night with a positive thing.
They're making it clear that they're kind of comfortable in this position as the party of Trump, and they don't have to fight quite as much.
They're very comfortable. That's representative.
And confident.
They pick Vance. I mean, they're ahead in the polls. They have matched on donations, right? They feel pretty comfortable where they are in the election right now.
They don't need to be dramatic. All right, we're gonna keep you around, Eric Nesbitt. Thank you, Nesbitt. Thank you so much. Because we are back with the whole Spotlight Politics team for more analysis of today's events and a look at what to expect for tomorrow right after this.
Chicago Tonight is made possible in part by the Alexandra and John Nichols family, the Jim and Kay Mabee family, the Polk Brothers Foundation, and the support of these donors.
And we're joined now by Heather Sharon and Nick Blumberg reporting from Milwaukee, as well as Amanda Vinicky, still inside Milwaukee's Pfizer Forum. And here in the studio, joining us again, thank you very much, Northwestern University's Eric Nisbet. So, Heather, let's start with you, please. Tonight, closing it out was Chicago Pastor Corey Brooks making an appearance at the RNC, delivering the closing prayer. Why was he chosen for this role?
Well, he's exactly the type of person that Republicans are attempting to appeal to. He's Black, he's from Chicago, a primarily Democratic city, and he's somebody who has rejected sort of that governing ethos. He's also somebody who says that, you know, Black people who vote for Democrats often do so unthinkingly, and that is because something they haven't thought about, sort of what they're doing. He sees sort of Chicago's Black community as more conservative than you would think. He's also somebody who says he's been sort of targeted for his political beliefs. He's building a massive community center in Woodlawn. He has asked the city for help building that facility, and he has not gotten, he says, any help from the city. And he believes that's because he's not a Democrat. And that is exactly in line with sort of this narrative of sort of, being targeted by the political elite that Donald Trump really sort of embraces. And that is why Corey Brooks got such a huge spotlight today. I'm sure that he hopes that it will translate into additional dollars that he can use to help the people that he serves in one of Chicago's most violent neighborhoods.
Nick Blumberg, today's major themes, of course, are the convention, safety and crime. How are Republicans approaching this issue at the DNC? The RNC, excuse me.
Don't rush us. We'll get to the DNC eventually. No, I mean, I think you and Professor Nisbet were right on the money there, talking about the fact that this was so heavily focused on the southern border. They talked a lot about how the Biden-Harris administration has opened the borders. In fact, earlier this year, there was a move to restrict, access to asylum seekers, sort of putting, perhaps not putting the lie, but, offering some important context to that notion of just wide open borders. There were also a lot of references to Vice President Kamala Harris's role as a quote-unquote border czar. Now, certainly the Democratic incumbent vice president is going to take a lot of heat at the RNC, but one has to wonder as well, given all the speculation about whether President Biden's re-election bid will continue, if they wanted to put a lot of focus on Kamala Harris and try to lay the blame for some of the ills that conservatives see as, coming from immigration at the feet of Harris. And then also to, Heather's point, there were some efforts to tie immigration to violent crime and to say that this is something that, Black Americans have suffered. We heard from Madeleine Brame talking about the loss of her son. And she said, I was lied to. I was deceived. We also heard from, Ambassador Nikki Haley talking about we need to expand the party. So there were some overtures there to bring in more people of color. But really, it was a heavy focus on immigration. And, as you mentioned, those everyday Americans, some of them ran through a bit of a laundry list of, certainly that very moving story about fentanyl, but, tent cities being chased down the street, all these sorts of things that are, often appear in conservative critiques of Democratic-controlled areas. But for a night that was about safety, it was very much about safety at the border. But certainly, as this party has aligned itself with Trump, that very much aligns itself with one of Trump's big priorities of having that border wall built and restricting immigration.
Right. And on safety night, I think all of us were expecting there to be a little bit more name-checking of Chicago. I think we were prepared for it. Nick, Heather, were either of you surprised that, Chicago didn't come up because it has been a punching bag for the president in the past?
Yeah, I think it's because the data has complicated this narrative. Crime in Chicago is down double digits this year as compared with last year, despite the arrival of tens of thousands of migrants, many from Venezuela, many sort of fleeing economic collapse and trying to make a better life for their families in Chicago. But simply put, that if, the migrants were bringing crime and that the, democratically controlled cities were unable to sort of cope with that pressure, we would not see double-digit crime drops, and that means that this narrative is more complicated, which is why you really heard anecdotal individual stories, because I don't have any doubt that if the data was moving in the other direction, especially after the increases we saw during the pandemic years, that the Republicans would not hesitate to make that case, but they simply can't. And I think the professor's point was well taken, that this is a narrative that relies on truly racist notions of people who are Latino, mostly coming into America. It also starts to sort of, you know, expose that tension between Black Chicagoans in particular and Latino Chicagoans. Black Chicagoans feel very angry that they have suffered for decades of disinvestment in neighborhoods like Woodlawn, where Cory Brooks serves the community. That is sort of the politics behind this. But of course, there are real people in the middle of it.
And I also think we have to remember that the influx of, you know, many thousands of new arrivals coming into Chicago and to other democratically controlled cities, that's driven by the decision of Republican Governor Greg Abbott of Texas to bus those migrants into those cities, essentially to, you know, try to put the heat on Democratic leaders and say, hey, you want to be a sanctuary city, you want a sanctuary state, okay, we're going to send these folks up north to where you live. So I think that also is part of the reason why you're seeing so much focus on immigration at the RNC. It sort of dovetails with that Republican effort to create a political crisis when it comes to new arrivals.
So, okay, I want to get Amanda in here because they're doing some fun stuff with the lights inside Pfizer Forum there, Amanda. But on that floor earlier today, Republican National Committeeman for Illinois Richard Porter had an altercation with Matt Gaetz. Let's take a listen.
Hey, what night are you speaking? Are you speaking tonight? Or?
No.
Hey, you're not. If you took that stage, you would get booed off. You would get booed off the stage.
Shut up,
kids. Hey, don't be an asshole.
Dude, I don't even know
who you are. It doesn't fucking matter.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah, I'm
just
saying.
Oof. Amanda. What happened?
Well, so what you had there was the former speaker being interviewed, and then Representative Gaetz, who, of course, was really responsible for his ousting, interrupted, said, you're going to get booed. And then McCarthy's longtime good friend, and that's Illinois Republican Party Chairman Richard Porter, well, you heard him, and I talked with him later, just a bit ago, in fact, and he said, pardon my language, but I'm not sorry at all for what I said. He said that Representative Gaetz was acting like a schoolyard bully and that sort of behavior is inappropriate. You shouldn't act like a jerk. He was standing up for his friend, but he would have said that sort of commentary had he heard it from anybody, because that is inappropriate behavior. This is something that has really made the rounds on social media, and not just in Illinois. Porter said that he was getting texts from people throughout the nation, some of whom said, hey, you should in fact be the next U.S. House Speaker. Have you thought about that? This is more of what we need, people calling it like it is. This does, however, I think, belie some of this talk that we keep on hearing as a refrain in terms of unity, 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 and, of course, the appearances of Trump's primary challengers, because you see right there that Gaetz and really the true conservative wing and the MAGA folks are not perhaps fully willing to accept those who aren't 100% on board. By the way, I did happen to catch McCarthy in the hallways of the convention center right after this confrontation, after this kerfuffle, and he does maintain that the party is unified and that he is fully behind Trump.
Eric Nisbett, I want to get you in here before we run out of time. You know, one of the things that we also saw tonight that I thought was interesting is former President Trump showing up for the second night and mm-hmm. sitting in the audience. It's kind of like the king watching his own coronation. What did you make of that? Is it strange?
I think it's very Trump, first of all, being sort of imperial, where he saw that his main rivals from the recent primary and formal rivals from the primary before that in 2016 were all coming, endorsing him, sort of presenting themselves to the king. I also think it's important, because of the assassination attempt, that he shows up physically. He shows up that he's in good health, he's robust, he's smiling, he's healthy. Again, trying to show confidence and because of the assassination attempt and trying to show a contrast with Biden.
A couple seconds left. Tomorrow is Make America Strong Again. What do we think that night is about?
Probably about national security. I would assume. It'll be interesting to see. They had some military veterans candidates on tonight talking about that. And interwoven with the dialogue, they're trying to present Biden as weak, both at home and abroad. So we'll see if they do more of that tomorrow.
Okay. Tomorrow will be fun. We'll all be here. Well, most of us will be here to talk about it. Northwestern University Professor Eric Nisbett, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Of course, gang in Milwaukee, Amanda Venicky, Nick Blumberg, and Heather Sharon. Thanks. We'll see you tomorrow. And that is our show for tonight. Be sure to join us again tomorrow at 5:30 and 10 for day 3 coverage of the Republican National Convention. And be sure to check out our website for the very latest convention coverage. Now, for all of us here at Chicago Tonight, I'm Brandis Friedman. Thank you for watching. Stay healthy and safe, and have a good night.
Closed captioning is made possible by Robert A. Clifford and Clifford Law Offices, a Chicago personal injury and wrongful death firm that is proud to recognize its founder and senior partner, Robert Clifford, who ranked number one in the state of Illinois by Super Lawyers Top 10 2024 Illinois Super Lawyers List.